welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. I'm your host, Wes Christian, CEO of Food Handler Solutions and School Food Handler, and I am blessed to be joined again by my co-host and founding partner, nationally recognized speaker, Mr. Bart Christian. And we've got a really special guest for you today, and I want to jump right into it and get him introduced. Mr. Joe Pettit, with more than 20 years of experience as a leader in the food and beverage industry, with six of those being in school nutrition, Joe brings experience and passion to see others at their best. In his current role as supervisor for Charleston County School District in South Carolina, Joe oversees 15 schools, leads new hire training, team professional development, and department communications. He also owns a professional speaking business where he presents leadership and motivational talks for corporations, state and national SNA conferences, and school assemblies. Most recently, he also just launched a new Facebook and YouTube podcast called Cup of Joe, which airs on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So without further ado, let's meet our guys. Hey, guys. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Amen.
Yeah, Joe, thank you so much. Bart, thank you for being here as well. And Joe, I want to jump right into it. You're a nationally kind of recognized speaker as well. You speak all over the country to school nutrition departments and to various different corporations. So I was looking on your website and talking with you a little bit earlier, and I saw that you've got an acronym, the 5 P's. Share with me a little bit about what the 5 P's are and specifically how those can apply to folks today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. And so the 5 P's kind of came about. I love to grow food. I'm a raised bed, organic type vegetable gardener, but also somebody who's always looking for the lesson. Very quickly, I'll tell you, a lot of people I realize don't care as much about my story about overcoming an addiction as much as they want to know how do I use what you learned to get over that so that I can apply it to my life. And so the 5 P's, really, the first thing that I knew when I want to grow something in the garden, I need to know what I want to produce. That's the 5th P. So we're going to go from the end backwards. And basically, I know what I want to produce, and I'll go back to the front. And the 1st P is really, you need to have a plan. And so when you have a plan, at that point, you need to be able to start to prepare, then plant the seed, then practice, then produce. And those are the 5 P's that allowed me to not only overcome an addiction, to be able to be a better husband, a better father, and then to be a better leader. And honestly, it's one of those things that I think anybody can use if you will walk through those type of steps.
Wonderful. And I mean, I know a little bit about your story and, you know, kind of that struggle and overcoming some of those struggles with addiction. There's a lot of people out there right now that are going through a tough time. And, you know, might be struggling with various different things, adjusting to stay-at-home orders, adjusting to a new work environment. But regardless, I think all of us, it's fair to say, are dealing with change in a very dramatic way. What type of suggestions do you have for people to just have a positive mindset and really kind of pull out of this so that they can be better than they were before they kind of went into this you know, period?
Yeah, it's never too late to start a plan. And I believe that there's one way that you really start with that plan is you got to have a vision. What is it that you dream about? Because no matter where we are, no matter where we're stuck, even in the midst of being quarantined, there's still a dream of something. Your dreams may change, but even what's getting me through personally through this time, and I really encourage others to use this same thing. What is it that you want and who do you want to be in 5 years? And then at that point, we can start to build that hope and that dream, because if I can do it, okay, anybody can do it. I'm no different, no special, no more unique, but I started putting the plan into practice. And honestly, my encouragement to folks, dream big. And I know it may be tough, but dream big.
Yeah. Yeah, can I add something to that?
Yeah, I was gonna ask you to jump in, because I know you speak a lot on very similar topics, so please.
Now, Joe, you are so spot on. And your analogy with your 5 P's is so important, because people don't, I mean, they want to grow. If you want to grow tomatoes, you don't plant corn seed. Right. If you want to grow corn, you don't plant rosebuds, you know? So those are things people focus so much on the minutia of the day that they don't think about what's going to happen in the end. And I heard a guy say one time, a guy named Jack Canfield, who you may or may not recognize, but he wrote a little book called Chicken Soup for the Soul. He told me one time personally, he said, Bart, you know, if you can master this formula, that's E plus R equals O, life gets so much easier. I said, what is E plus R equals O? And he said, well, it's events plus your response or your action equal your outcome. And we can't control the events that happen to us. We can influence the outcome, but all we really control is how we work in the garden, like you're saying. And are we pulling weeds or are we watering weeds? And that's just a kind of, a, I just love that five P's. I think that's brilliant. Thank you. Cause I'm, that's my takeaway for the day.
I love the garden analogy. I actually, since we've been in quarantine, have, you know, picked up a little bit of gardening in our backyard. We've got a small backyard, but we've got a little area that we planted some tomatoes and some other things. And I quickly realized just how horrible of a gardener I am, because we've got, in California, we've got a really bad slug problem, snails. And I knew that putting salt on snails would keep them away and ultimately get rid of them. What I didn't know is that if you put salt on a tomato bush, it kills it really fast. So I quickly killed my entire garden the other day trying to get these slugs out of there. So I'm the slug and garden killer. Joe, you had mentioned, and I it was either you or Bart had mentioned, you know, coming out of this and kind of having a vision for the next 5 years. Talk to me a little bit about what you see in meal service being like in this upcoming year, just for, you know, food service workers, but specifically for school nutrition.
Yeah, I think really for school nutrition departments, if their vision was great presentation, great food quality, great customer service, if that was the vision before this happened, it'll still be their vision. Now, the delivery and how, not only delivery, like not by definition delivery, but how they still define that will still be the same, because that was their vision, that's their commitment, that's where they're going to make their mark. But here's the other part that I believe is that we can also use the momentum that has been created through this. We have automatically been catapulted into a national spotlight in a positive way, mm-hmm. that we now have the attention of our school administrators, who now are calling us one-on-one, directly calling on us, texting us. Like we are creating a deeper connection with our local leaders inside of not only our communities, but in our schools. So ultimately that's going to allow us to have a little bit more say in how we're going to deliver. Now, what that's actually going to look like, I think right now we're all at pure speculation. I believe that when the CDC starts to set out more definition, when school administrators are told how they're supposed to do it, then we'll basically, as school nutrition professionals do, we will adapt and we will make sure that we deliver the best possible product and service.
Absolutely. And I just had a conversation this morning with a major manufacturer, and that was the topic about one of them, not the topic, but one of the things we mentioned was, you know, there's no real guidance. And until there is guidance, it's all speculation. But I think you and I have been in the business a long time. He had been in the business a long time. I think we've got an idea how things are possibly going to go. And I see, you know, classroom service. I see a lot of grab and go. I see maybe some scattered cafeteria congregate feeding, or maybe even kids going to the cafeteria and picking up trays and taking it back to their classroom. You know, all of which are going to be just like what we got through, doing completely different ways, short of grab and go, completely different ways of doing business than we've ever done before. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
You better believe it. You better believe it. But I do honestly believe that folks in the school districts who want to take the easy way, because unfortunately there's still some folks who just like, you know what, this is the way it's going to be. Here's your shelf stable item. And for right now, that's working because that's what we need. But I also believe that there's going to be those pioneers that are saying, no, we will not sacrifice food quality. We're going to take the rules and we're going to interpret them, and we're going to deliver the best possible product to our customers, our students.
And can I get off track for a second, Wes?
Of course.
The one question I had speaking to a director this morning too, from a district in Arizona, was Joe, in your district, let's say that they do the pick up the tray and go back to the room, or they do meal delivery to the classroom from the cafeteria. How do you see cleanup and how do you see sanitation in the classroom for teachers? That was the question that I got this morning, and I gave her my thoughts, but I really didn't have a good, I don't know.
Well, I think your company, School Food Handler, will be writing a whole lot more SOPs to help clearly define that. But in the same breath as well, you know, here's the tricky part. When you release the responsibility of who's serving the food, but yet you as a company or department are still responsible if anything were to happen. That's the tricky play part. As far as the cleanup, I'll be honest with you, from someone who does breakfast in the classroom, you know, it's great because it allows school administrators to be able to control the traffic, you know, really be able to maximize their amount of instructional time. But lunch is a little bit different in the classroom. You know, I really think that a lot of, for a district, from a district's perspective, I don't want to release that control because I want to make sure that it's done the proper way from those who are receiving food handling training. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, tricky, but your word was fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, you know, the Chinese say, may you live in interesting times, and Lord knows we're in them.
Sure.
This is true. Bart, you kind of touched on this a second ago with some of the kind of different ideas of serving techniques and different ways that we might see food service operators delivering food to the students. Joe and Bart, both of you, a question for you. What do you see as being kind of the new norms moving forward? Do you see a lot of grab-and-go lunches still? Do you see a lot of maybe outside feeding, separate serving periods? What do you think the future holds for us as far as getting the food in the kids' hands?
I'll take first on this one. Just, I think, honestly, you're going to have a different it'll definitely be a hybrid model. I believe if we can keep it to where, because here's the other part, is that there hasn't been much interaction. There's not been a whole lot of social interaction for students, which we know is huge in their emotional development. So I believe that they're going to want to encourage that outside of their classroom, but in a controlled manner. I believe you're going to see a lot of blue painter's tape on the floor. I believe you're going to see that 6 foot is going to stay in stores and also in cafeterias. I don't know how that's going to happen with, you know, if you look at 50 in a cafeteria, but I believe you're going to find a bunch of different hybrid models. And honestly, you know, like in our district, we were piloting this year where the power hour, where the whole campus basically breaks out and goes and starts to eat at the same time. They have an hour, but everybody comes at once. So I think you're going to see more kiosks, more carts, and ultimately you're going to have just going to try to break up the huddles.
Well, let me switch that around a little bit, Joe, and let me ask you this, because you're, I mean, you inspiration and you talk with people, and you and I both have that passion for making people believe in what they do. When, as the pressure of the new year comes, you know, we're seeing stress of what's going on now. As the pressure of the new year comes, how can directors and even site managers keep their staff believing and motivated and inspired to do what they do if the kids are not in front of them every day? Because that, you and I both know, that's kind of the fuel, is getting to say hey and look in those little faces and say hello and good morning and all that. How do we keep that inspiration going so they believe that what they're doing is continues to be vital, which it is?
Sure. It is a challenge because you don't get that energy, as you're mentioning. But ultimately, I think what we need to remember, whether it's a speaker, whether it's a director, whether it's a school administrator, is to realize what is our ultimate goal? Like, why are we here and why are we doing it? And if it's for the students and we start to really hear and feel the impact of those stories, to understand that we are going to be coming into a completely different time, that if we will just continue to show them that what they're doing is important, make them feel that way, I think that appreciation is a huge factor that we're going to have to connect with. You know, let's say if you work for me, Barton, I would say, hey, how's your family? You know, break it down to that personal level, and then we'll be able to keep them inspired, keep them fueling, because I care about you as a person. And ultimately, we're here to feed our students. And in our district, we call it students are the heart of our work. And when you keep that in mind, that no matter what decision we make, I need for us all to fuel and refocus to go towards, you know, the students and really being able to bring them home, because you're right, they're going to need some extra inspiration and hope. And that's the beauty of, you know, whether it's a speaker, whether it's a YouTube video, whatever the case may be, we have to constantly realize we're responsible for fueling them.
Right. Well, I'll ask this to both of you, since you're both in the speaking world and motivating staff is one of your passions. What's the future look like for motivating employees from your standpoint, from, you know, a speaker, getting this information to them, where we might see less group gatherings, we might see less employee meetings, what are some different resources or some different tools that directors could maybe look towards now to kind of start getting in their mind some different ways that they can keep their staff motivated, in this upcoming year?
So ultimately, I believe that we're going to have to embrace Zoom, okay? And I'm sure there's other companies out there, but Zoom's getting all the love right now. It's kind of like if I Googled something, right? It's become the new term for what we're doing currently, whatever platform we're using. Folks are going to have to, and I mean folks, by directors, they're going to have to embrace the Zoom world that we're in. I believe ultimately we're talking about just one season. I don't believe this is the way it's going to be forever. I believe we're talking about one season, if we can embrace it. But I think ultimately that a lot of directors are going to have to also realize that, you know, times are tough and we're having to look at different expenses. You cannot cut training right now. Right now is not the time to cut training. Matter of fact, you might want to double down on that so that you can make sure that your team feels like you care, so that they also know that you're pouring into them. Because at the end of the day, if I'm calling on you or if I'm giving you a message personally, this is not a generic video. If I'm calling on school food handlers specifically, it allows your team to know that this message has been catered for them. Someone's still trying to give me that boost. But then ultimately, as always, when I walk off the stage, I always tell the directors, the ball's in your court now. So now it's up to you to keep this momentum going, because motivation is just a good shot. Then you have to help build and keep that momentum moving forward. Bart, how about yourself?
I see two things. I see number one is that, you know, you're going to have more directors that have been in this mode of having a big meeting at the beginning of the year, this 4 or 5 hour meeting at the beginning of the year, and then maybe another follow-up sometime mid-year. Obviously, they're not going to be able to do that, not this year. But I see the second thing I see is the opportunity for there to be built within organizations a new culture of training. You know, one of the things that we've done with School Food Handler, and I mean, not toot our horn, but it's a great tool, is that we've given directors the opportunity to build curriculums over the course of a year so that staff can be continually educating themselves, so that they need that 6, 7, 8 hour worth of time, whatever they need, instead of getting it in one shot. Because Joe, you and I both, you just made the magic word. You know, I speak to people all the time and they say, are you a motivational speaker? And I said, no, I'm not. I'm an inspirational speaker. Mm-hmm. I can inspire you. I can make you feel good. I can make you want to do something today, but motivation comes from in here. And you and I both know that motivation wears off if there's not constant reinforcement. And I think that what this new territory is going to allow directors to do is to build a real culture of training, a real culture of education, so that every 2 weeks, every week, there's maybe a short 15-minute session, maybe a short Zoom, managers meetings, maybe instead of being done once a month or every other month, maybe they're done a couple of times a month now through a Zoom, because it's much more convenient to get everybody for a few minutes after their shift than to bring them all into one place. So I think there's a real opportunity for people to build this culture of training that's going to constantly motivate their staff. Because I also believe this. I believe that that when you invest in training, ongoing training for your staff, even in small pieces, it lets them know that they're important, that they're valued, and what they do is critical, so critical that we need to constantly reinforce procedures and policies with you. And that's just my 2 cents.
Yeah, and let me, as you're talking, let me just jump, kind of piggyback on what you're saying too. You also mentioned sometimes when we're talking about this big gathering in 4 or 5 hours, I think the other thing that you have to do is cut out all what we call the excess fat. Like, let's get rid of the stuff that doesn't need to be there, right? And let's utilize the time even more specifically. Well, here's the other part. If you bring in a back to school speaker for a professional development, kind of come in and keynote for an hour, 2 hours, maybe they deliver a little education session. Well, now for that same fee, potentially, you can now look at it over a 3-month span. Instead of me giving you 3 hours in one stop, okay, how about this? How about for this season, we'll come in through Zoom, because I don't have to leave my home, which is the luck. You know, one of the things a lot of people don't understand about speaking and traveling is that I have to walk away from my family every time I do that.
For days.
Yes. Yeah. If it's a 1-day shop, I'm out at least 2. Yeah, 3 if it's really the way, you know, traveling on that. But So now you can offer them even more added value, and it's still the same amount of time that I'm in front of your audience, which I think if really districts will hear what we just said, mm-hmm. you can get ongoing training from a speaker per se for like a follow-up for the same fee potentially.
Exactly. And you can set up a camera. There can actually be interaction like we're doing now. Right. And it would be actually more valuable.
Way more.
Rather than, you know, if you have you and I can get up and we can crank a group up for a couple of hours. But getting to have that time every couple of weeks for 6 weeks or for six sessions, 3 hours, 30 minutes at a time or 45 minutes at a time, I think could be very valuable to directors if they're willing to, you know, it's change, but if they're willing to change and look at this new way of doing things, I think it'd be better.
Absolutely.
So I think it's fair to say that we need to embrace the technology that we're now being forced to use on a regular basis, right?
No. Oh, no. No.
Yes. Fun. That's the word of the day. Fun.
That's right. I know there's been we talk to a lot of directors and, you know, Bart, you talk to more than I do on a regular basis that are in the field, go and see people on site. But, you know, there's still a large portion of directors that, you know, are still doing paper logs, still are, you know, doing things in, I wouldn't say it's an old fashioned type manner. I think that, you know, maybe this is the push that pushes us all to just embrace technology, whether it's different tools to use, different streaming tools, different methods of delivering education. But I think that's all great advice that you guys just gave.
Well, Wes, you said something not too long ago to me when we were doing presentation. What you said, talking about people that wouldn't embrace technology, and Joe, this is a great thing that he did. We're having trouble getting some districts to embrace the training platform because they just didn't want to do it. And so they said it's too technical. So Wes goes in and has a meeting and holds up his smartphone and asks everybody how many's got one. Every hand goes up. He asks them to take a picture of him and then send him a text of the picture. And then he replied back and asked him to reply back to the reply. He said they all did it. And he said, you all realize you just did about 10 times more steps than are needed for doing a training lesson. And I think that's the thing. I think that people are, and when I did this, it was almost joking because, you know, we all look at new technology that way, but the reality of it is things are getting so much simpler than they were. And if you can operate a POS or you can operate a menu planner online, you can absolutely find your training and do it on a platform. And there's really no excuse not to do it now, especially.
It has gotten a lot simpler. I agree with you a lot on that. And, you know, talking about simplicity of things and ultimately just embracing some of the change. Let's talk about mindset. I know both of you, you know, it's probably a topic that both of you will jump on. But what's the mindset of a director going into this upcoming year? We've talked a little bit about motivation, motivating your employees. But really, how do we help directors with maybe a couple of quick tips on how to get your employees on board for this? Because, you know, we're talking about, you know, adjusting to new procedures, possibly new cleaning procedures, maybe new materials they're going to be using. And now we're talking about throwing in the additional, now we're going to be using this new technology potentially. There might be a lot of pushback. What are some ways that directors can, you know, help really get their employees on board with these changes?
Yeah, I go by three P's. And with those P's is patience. We have to understand we can't, if we are going in thinking someone's just going to accept change overnight, we're fooling ourselves. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So you have to have patience and see it. When we talked about the five P's earlier, you know, having that plan, what is the vision? What are the goals? And we really have to be specific about both. So having patience, the second P is you must be persistent. So we're going to have to constantly remind, well, that's their job. You can say that, but you must be persistent over time. And then finally, the thing that my mom and God bless her, I love her like nobody else. And I would not be the man I am today if it wasn't for her, because she taught me about the third P mostly, which is politeness. You can accomplish so much if you will practice politeness. I can tell you what you need to do, and I expect you to do it, but I'm still going to be polite about it. So I can deliver some news that some people might say is bad news, but I'm going to give it to you in a polite way. So patience, persistence, and politeness.
I love that.
I'm just going to add one thing, and that's surround that with why. Because so many times we get, when our society, we are tight, focused on telling people what to do. But I found so many times, if I can explain to people why they need to do it and help them. Now, I think that we've had a lot of explained for us already with the what's happened. But getting people to understand the why, this is why we have to do it. That you may not, they might not necessarily agree with you, but when they understand that, you know, there's a reason, sometimes that helps too. But I love the three Ps.
Yeah, those are great. Joe, a couple of times now you've mentioned the power of goal setting. And for some people, goal setting might be a little daunting. Where do I start? Do I start with small, achievable goals? Do I start really far out and then work my way back in kind of a stepping stone type manner? What do you suggest to people that may not be too familiar with setting goals? What's a good strategy for really establishing goals that will ultimately be successful?
Well, again, so I look at the times when I was the most successful in my life. One was in high school when I earned a football scholarship, first one in my immediate family to graduate high school the traditional way. And I had goals. I had a vertical leap that I never should have had, but I had goals. They were specific and they were written down. And I had accountability. See, that's the one piece where people talk about SMART goals that I don't really buy into the whole attainable thing. I really don't, because I don't think they need to be attainable. I think they need to be specific and they need to be measurable. So in high school, I was doing really well with that. And then for about 16 years, I just stopped goal setting. Didn't write it, didn't have them. And by the way, I wander through life aimlessly. And as Zig Ziglar says, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every single time. Well, I hit nothing quite often. And then when I was coming out of this, my mind was clear again. I had a refocus. And I had a man, Bobby Lutz, I'll never forget it, in a marriage group of all places. He was like, here, gave it to everybody. And I don't know how many people did it. I know the studies say that about 3% of Americans actually write their goals down. And that first year I wrote 10 goals, 10 personal goals for a 12-month space. And let me tell you, I have chills right now talking about it because I was doing things that I never thought imaginable. So to answer your question in a long way, you have to write them. You have to know the why, as Bart mentioned earlier. You need to have a first step and a second step, and you must have accountability. And then it needs to be written. I absolutely love goal setting. And again, when you do it and you start to get those good, as they call it, the good dopamine hits, as you're accomplished, the same thing you get when you make a to-do list and you check it off. It's the same thing with that goal. And all of a sudden you started creating this momentum. And let me tell you, 4 years later now, I wish I had my vision board right behind me. I show it to you. I love it. Love it.
Bart, heard Brian Tracy say one time that a goal not written down is a wish.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very, what you just said is powerful.
And just one last thing, not only from a personal standpoint, and I can share on that all day, but the other part is that I think that a lot of companies, a lot of districts, a lot of departments, they never share it. If your frontline folks don't know what's written in your office as far as your vision board and your goals or your mission statement, then it's just words on a piece of paper. Mm. You have to communicate it, and you have to have a scoreboard of how you're indicating so that they know, oh, we're on pace. And let me tell you, no matter who, even when you don't get a bonus, right? Because school district folks don't get a bonus per se because you hit a sales point like some other companies may in the private sector. But I know for a fact from coming from someone who's a supervisor, people are competitive. So if I vet this school versus this school, you'll watch participation start to increase. You'll watch your absentee start to drop a little bit. So goals can work so many different ways for you.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of ladies fight over a t-shirt because the t-shirt was the prize. Yeah.
Doesn't take much.
That's right.
Bart, anything to add to that?
No, it's just Joe. I'm so impressed with what you put together, and I want to real quick, tell people where they can find your stuff. And I'll tell them where they can find this fabulous book that I just got through reading this morning that you sent to me. I'm very impressed with your information. I really appreciate the level of giving that you have for other people and the caring that you put into what you put together.
Well, absolutely. If only my, you speak of giving, and I'll share, but if only my grandmother were here, if only she could see this Joe, because this is the Joe that she was trying to create. This is the one she was trying to produce, right? She did it. She just didn't get to see it per se here on earth. But the beautiful part is, and that's about giving. That's why it's all about, here is something back for you. Now, I do like some things to be paid for, right? You know, we all like to put bread on the table, put, you know, put food on the table, keep the lights on. But if you want a free resource, you can go to my website, joepettitinspires.com. Right there, as soon as you go, it's called A Free Cup of Joe. Sends you basically the ABCs of leadership. Very simple, very easy. Share it with your team. As Wes mentioned earlier, on Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can go to my Facebook or YouTube at Joe Pettit Inspires. Do a little 10, 12 minute basic leadership motivation type of exercise. Comes with a downloadable worksheet. We're just trying to serve through in the midst of all this. And then ultimately, you know, one of the biggest asks that we always tell folks is just go and teach it. If you go and reteach it, then I know it's going to stick more, and always available for virtual or in-house in services for folks as well.
Right. And that's Pettit with two T's, right? P-E-T-T-I-T.
Yes. Thanks for spelling that out.
And Wes, that's going to be in the, notes, right?
Of course. Yeah. All of this is going to be in the notes. We'll put a link to Joe's website, as well as, you know, all the kind of meeting notes and everything from this call. So you'll have the right spelling and everything there.
thanks.
Well, Joe, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your time. I got so much out of this. I've been sitting here taking notes, actually, of all the things you've been saying. And I'm going to leave and go make sure that my goals are specific, that they're written down, that I understand the why, and that I have an accountability buddy as soon as this is over. So I just really appreciate it. That was my big takeaway from today. And, you know, we'll love to have you back on the show at some point.
Gentlemen, thank you. Thank you so much for today. Just a true honor, and just continue to do what the great work that you guys do as well, not only for school districts, but also for your families as well. So thank you so much.
Well, God bless you, Joe, and your grandmama's proud.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. This has been another episode of Friday Food Fight, and we will see you here next week. Take care.